What do your children really think about the supernatural stories in Scripture? Do they view them as mere stories, myths like the fairy tales that you may have read them when they were younger? Or do your kids see them and understand them as actual historical accounts, events that happened at different times in recorded history? Helping our kids accept and better understand the supernatural might just make them more receptive to the God that we serve through Jesus Christ. Helping our kids own their own faith through truthful accounts of God working in the lives of His kids is what's in store right here on Licensed to Parent. Well, hello and welcome to Licensed to Parent, the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy, a year-long residential program for teens in crisis located just north of Atlanta. Our host is Trace Embry, and I'm Rich Rossell. And, you know, Trace, I know that you have experienced some extraordinary things in your life, mm-hmm. but would you say that you have experienced a miracle firsthand?
Well, you know, if the miracles I see regularly here at Shepherd's Hill Academy count, then I've seen plenty, but as far as a physical, like, raising from the dead or something that could in no way, shape, or form be confused with a crazy coincidence or an incredible circumstance, I'd have to say no to a bona fide miracle. Even a healing that my wife experienced once could have been written off as a coincidence, though I personally believe that it really was a work of God. She had a toothache. It was a Sunday, I think it was, mm-hmm. and she had no access to a dentist. And my brother said, listen, I want to pray for that right now. And he comes over and he puts his hand on her. He prays, and he didn't get amen out of his mouth. And that toothache that she had been dealing with all weekend was, I mean, gone. I would consider that a miracle.
Yeah.
But to convince somebody else that was a, right. you know, a miracle— Yeah, I don't know if I could or not. I've certainly had some things happen that I would consider supernatural, whether I'd call them miracles or not. Again, I suppose that would be up for debate. My daughter's experienced some things that were unexplainable, miracle, not sure. I had a couple exorcisms here at Shepherd's Hill, including the facial expressions, voice change, green stuff flying out of the mouth. Again, certainly unexplainable, whether it was miraculous or not. I couldn't tell you.
Yeah.
How about you, Rich?
I think I have. Okay. And again, this kind of goes back to how we want to define the term miracle. But mm-hmm. if we define it as something that has no other logical explanation, then I think my best example happened, this was a number of years ago now, but my wife, who used to wear very strong eyeglasses, not literally the Coke bottles, you know, in thickness, but still, mm-hmm. she had very poor eyesight. Her two eyes were very different from one another in the prescription she needed. One night, this was when our oldest child was very young, she heard something going on and had to get up in the middle of the night to take care of him and was frustrated. She couldn't get to her glasses, couldn't see to walk, and she was just so frustrated that, in her words, she said, I just cried out and said, God, why do I have to deal with this? And she said in that moment, she felt this warmth just rush through her body, and her eyes were healed.
Wow.
From that day on, she did not wear glasses, at least not for another 20 years.
Wow.
And, you know, I can't explain it any other way.
Yeah.
You know, one doesn't just accidentally suddenly have perfect eyesight.
Yeah.
So that would be mine. But sort of like you, there have been a number of other extraordinary things that I've witnessed, but I happen to be a person who believes that God is very much involved in the ordinary.
Right.
I mean, everything in the world is His, so that which happens doesn't go unnoticed by our Creator.
Mm-hmm.
So again, I haven't sat around counting miracles, but I do think that I did have at least that one experience, which I've never forgotten.
Sure. Wow.
Well, anyway, we don't want to stay on the past, though. We want to deal with the present and what's going on here. And that's why we have invited a special guest to join us on the program. Today's guest deals with miracles regularly, as you can see and hear on his website and on his radio program, which is called Divine Intervention Radio. That's an interview show that features people who've experienced the hand of God in amazing ways. Our guest's name is Daniel Fazina. Daniel is also an author. He's got three divine intervention books, the third of which, Divine Intervention, 50 True Stories of God's Miracles Today, is actually due out right now.
Wow. Well, Daniel, welcome to the Licensed to Parent broadcast, brother.
Hey, Trace and Rich. It's such an honor to be with you guys and to share with the world the goodness and the grace of God and some of the miracles that he's still doing today. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, well, it's a pleasure. Daniel, you deal regularly with people who've had supernatural encounters with God. So what really is the difference between a supernatural encounter and a miracle?
Well, I would think that a miracle is, You know, I really love the way that my friend Sid Roth puts it, because he deals with that subject as well, and he talks about healings versus miracles. And he says that a miracle is an instantaneous healing, and a healing is a gradual miracle. So when you talk about supernatural encounters with God, they don't have to necessarily be miraculous or, you know, have to do with healings or things like that.
Right.
Sometimes people can, they can have theophanies, they can have visions, they can have dreams of God, and I believe that those are supernatural.
Right.
And a miracle, I would say, you know, it happens instantaneously, and usually it's a complete healing, and it's something that you can't really explain outside of God's intervention.
Mm. As parents, what do we tell our kids about miracles? I mean, their minds aren't quite as advanced as ours. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Sure. I think that, you know, children are very sensitive, more so, I think, than adults are to the spiritual world, and they have childlike faith. And, you know, what Jesus calls us to have faith like a child in order to enter the kingdom of God and to see, you know, the kingdom at hand, basically. And I remember, you know, just reading in the scriptures about how he would teach his disciples, you know, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? It's those who come to him with childlike faith.
Sure.
And, you know, I believe that children have a lot less ego involved. They have a lot more faith. You know, they look up to their parents like they're almost like they're gods, like they can't do anything wrong.
Sure.
And, you know, when they approach God the Father, it's kind of the same way. They have that childlike faith. And I know that I've heard a lot of stories of children who pray for things that maybe you or I as adults might be hesitant to, and yet they receive amazing answers because they approach God with that childlike faith.
Sure.
So I think we should encourage our children to really believe in God and to trust him and to, you know, just to trust him to show them the miraculous.
Should we train them to expect miracles or just accept them when they show up?
Well, I'm a little bit biased, so I would say expect them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God loves it when we come to him with faith, and especially, like I said, childlike faith.
Sure.
And I think that's a big key in expecting miracles, you know. We need to have faith, and we need to expect it. And that's not to say that he'll work with miracles all the time in your life.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like I said, because he does use doctors, he does use medicine, and he designed our body to be able to heal itself. But sometimes he'll intervene in a way that's just outside of our understanding, outside of science, outside of medicine. Rich, maybe like the case with your wife being healed of her bad vision instantaneously, I would say that would be a supernatural miracle.
Sure.
Well, I agree. And our definitions seem to be the same there. Yeah. I am curious about this. I've actually heard teaching from the pulpit in some mainline churches that say that the days of the miracles ended with the apostles.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever heard that?
I have, and it's kind of unfortunate because they may be limiting God and putting him in a box. I don't know what their experiences have been, but I know a lot of people, including myself, who've experienced God's miracles. I mean, I had chronic back pain for 10 years resulting from a torn cartilage ring and a bulging disc in my back, and I had, you know, chiropractic and physical therapy for many years, and nothing was really working, so I stopped therapy thinking I'd just have to live with the pain the rest of my life. I stopped the therapy in about 1995, and I remember I was a sophomore in college. And then fast forward to 2001, I went on a men's retreat with some guys from my church, and they said, we're going to dedicate this afternoon to prayer to Jesus for physical healing. So if you have any issues, come to the front of the room, we'll pray for you. So there's about 40 guys in this hotel meeting room, and they're all praying for each other, laying hands on each other. And I'm online to go to the front of the room to get prayer. And my friend Dave is online next to me, and he says, Daniel, what are you going to ask for prayer for? And I said, my back, because I've had this problem all these years. Now, I had had pain every day for 10 years. Okay, it wasn't severe. It was mild to moderate, but it was just there whether I sat or stood for any length of time. And guys, right when my friend asked me what I was going to ask for prayer for, I noticed the pain was gone.
Wow.
It was just gone, like disappeared. I was bending and twisting, and I was in shock. But
I was going to ask if you did that. Did your astonishment at that moment made you go, wait a minute. Now, if I move this way, is it going to come back?
Yeah, I did that. I was bending over and twisting and everything. And I can't explain it other than that it was an atmosphere of healing. The Holy Spirit was there, and I believe that God chose that moment to take the pain away, so I knew it was Him. You know, it wasn't doctors or therapy or anything like that, and I'm not against any of that. My wife is a doctor, but I believe that He wanted to show me that He was real and He was going to touch me personally. And, you know, over these 10 years, I did have other people pray for me over, you know, at different occasions, and just nothing happened. And so I was resigned to the fact that I was going to have to live with this. But God has a tendency of showing up and surprising us sometimes. And I believe that was one of those times. And He just wanted to show me His power and His love.
Folks put a lot of stress on miracles as being proof of God's existence and working, but Satan can counterfeit too.
Right.
Jesus still used them to establish Himself as the one He claimed to be. How important is it for parents to be able to substantiate these supernatural claims to their kids as at least evidence of God's hand in any given situation?
I think it's pretty important to be able to substantiate these things because, you know, we live in a world that is full of skepticism,
mm-hmm.
and some of it is rightly deserved. You know, there's been a lot of counterfeits, a lot of hoaxers and things like that.
Right.
And that's one of the reasons why I really went to great lengths to be able to incorporate medical documentation in my book, Divine Intervention, 50 True Stories of God's Miracles Today.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I grew up in Long Island, New York, and let's face it, it's not the Bible Belt. There's a lot of people there who have a lot of skepticism. A lot of my friends growing up were atheists and agnostics and Wiccans and pagans, and they would challenge me constantly about my faith in Christ. And, you know, when you talk about miracle stories, especially the ones that are just so far out there, they might be even hard to believe for a believer.
Mm-hmm.
If you can back that up with scientific evidence,
right.
with doctor's reports, with PET scans, and x-rays, then I think it'll go a long way. You know, there are certain types of people. Some people will accept things without, you know, they'll accept things on faith, which is great. And then you have the doubting Thomases, which they need some proof, and that's fine too. You need people like that to check things out. You know, I've heard it said that for the true believer, no evidence is necessary.
Right.
And for the true skeptic, no amount of evidence would be sufficient.
That's exactly right.
And people, they pretty much believe what they want to believe. But if you have a person who's kind of in the middle, they're open, but they're seeking, they want to know. And I think having evidence would be kind of a big push.
Sure.
Maybe push them over the edge, so to speak, to really investigate the things of God.
Yeah, I agree with you. Is your book, would you recommend it for teenagers?
Maybe for mature teenagers. Yeah, there are some stories in there that deal with adult themes.
Uh-huh.
If they're, you know, maybe the parents should probably read it first,
mm-hmm.
because there are some people in there who've been through abuse of different kinds,
yeah.
and have been delivered from demonic possession, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that might not be appropriate for young children, but for teenagers who are mature and who can handle it, I think so.
Could parents pick and choose the stories out of it to read to their small children?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. There are plenty of stories in there that are fine for children. Most of them are. There's just a couple in there that I might have a little caution with. But
uh-huh.
the great thing about Divine Intervention, 50 True Stories of God's Miracles Today, is that there are so many different types of stories in there, and they're short, so you can read them maybe at bedtime stories, things like that, and you can pick and choose. There's answered prayers, there's healings, there's deliverances, there's conversion experiences, there's miraculous provision, all things that are going to really build their faith.
Sounds like a faith bolster to me. We have to stop for a break, but when we come back, I want to ask you to maybe share a story from your book, if you would.
Sure.
Our guest today is Daniel Fazina. He's the author of the book Divine Intervention, 50 True Stories of God's Miracles Today. He's also host of the weekly radio program Divine Intervention Radio. You can find his books and his program online at divineinterventionradio.com. And this is Licensed to Parent, back with more conversation with our host Trace Embry and Daniel Fazina right after this.
Teen rebellion, depression, addiction, rage, cutting, and suicide are destroying our families today. But there is a way out. Shepherd's Hill Academy offers a 12-month, Christ-centered, nonprofit residential program where kids are being transformed with a biblical worldview and often medication-free. Christian apologist Ravi Zacharias is just one of many Christian leaders who understands what's happening at Shepherd's Hill Academy.
It really is such an honor to come alongside Shepherd's Hill Ministries and Licensed to Parent to rescue those who have been seduced along the way. I cannot gainsay how important this is, and to get behind a ministry like this, one will find the rewards to be extremely powerful in changing society.
Get the help you need at Shepherd's Hill Academy. Go to helpmytroubledteen.org. helpmytroubledteen.org. It's difficult to see the light at the end of the tunnel when you're face to face with a teenager who argues with you at every turn. Maybe you and your teen can't talk to one another about anything without it getting complicated. For nearly two decades, Shepherd's Hill Academy has been bringing healing to teens and families from around the world. Up until now, that help has come through its residential treatment facility in North Georgia. But now, your family can benefit from that experience at home through Shepherd's Hill Family Coaching, designed to help you discern God's will for your family, build good communication skills, deal with defiant children, and more. Our family coaching team will work with you by phone, in your home, at work, even while you're on the road, to help your family develop a game plan to succeed. Sign up for Shepherd's Hill Family Coaching today by visiting licensedaparent.org. Live the family life your family was designed for. Click on the family coaching banner at licensedaparent.org. Welcome back. This is Licensed to Parent, the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy, located just north of Atlanta, Georgia. You can find us online at licensedtoparent.org. You'll find program archives and links to various articles and also links to Shepherd's Hill Family Coaching, an opportunity to get some one-on-one help when what you hear here isn't quite enough. Our guest today is Daniel Fazina. Daniel is the host of Divine Intervention Radio and also author of the book Divine Intervention, 50 True Stories of God's Miracles Today. And Daniel, this is actually the third book in this series, isn't it?
Yes, this is actually the third book in the series, the first book that was released with Charisma House Publishers. The first two were self-published, and this third one just got picked up by Charisma House, so I'm very excited about that.
Cool, and it's coming out right now, available on your website, divineinterventionradio.com, and also amazon.com.
That's correct.
One of the things we try to do here is help people see that they need to be parenting not just in, you know, this good way or that good way, but really living life and raising their kids through the lens of a biblical worldview. And that's one of the reasons that we were interested in having you on here. You are reporting on your program and interviewing folks on a weekly basis who are touched by the hand of God and who are experiencing the miracles of God. Can you share a couple of stories with us from the book or just from the program that might tie in here?
Sure, yes. One story that comes to mind is that of my friend Sandra Rivera. And Sandra was... She was married and had no children, and this was in Massachusetts. She lived in Massachusetts, and back in 1996, she started, her body was producing basically breast milk, but she knew she wasn't pregnant. Hmm. So she went to get it checked out, and the doctor told her she had a brain tumor on the base of her pituitary gland, I think it was, right in the back, and because this tumor, the situation was, you know, where it was situated, it was causing her body to think she was already pregnant. So the doctor told her she would never be able to conceive or have children. And they were not able to operate on it because of its delicate location. And they started giving her medicine. They said, well, the medicine should control it, and it might shrink it, but it'll never disappear without surgery, which they refused to do. So basically, she was kind of devastated, thinking she would never have children, and this could possibly even take her life. But what happened was Sandra gave her life to the Lord, and her husband and her pastor started to share with her scriptures about God's healing and his, you know, just having faith in that God can do anything, you know. And throughout the process of, it was about a year and a half or maybe even more that she was taking the medicine, which made her very sick, she eventually stopped the medicine. And she started just living by faith and just saying, God, I thank you that you've healed me. I thank you, even though my eyes cannot see it, I'm trusting in you. Incidentally, she had a couple that she met who prophesied to her while she was sick, who knew nothing about her. She just met her. Hmm. And they said, the Lord is going to give you a child. And they knew nothing about her medical history either. And she was like, well, that's crazy because the doctors are telling me that I would never be able to conceive. And then she, as she learned about God, you know, over the years, she just got the faith and she was like, well, who am I going to believe? You know, this woman who says she hears from God or the doctors who have the medical background. Hmm. And she chose to believe that God was speaking through this woman.
Back to a choice
again. Long story short, when she went in for her scan, one of her, I guess, her x-rays or her CT scans, she was praising God and thanking him for just being with her as she was in this, it looks like kind of like a casket. It's like a almost like a torpedo tube where they give you the x-rays or the CT scan. But she felt the sensation of pressure from her feet that traveled all the way up to her head. And when it got to the head, there was like a little pop, almost like a burst of air, almost like when you squeeze a toothpaste tube and you roll it up, and the last little bit just pops out with the hair. And when she went back to get her results a month later, it came back completely negative. Wow. The tumor was gone. And she has the x-rays and the doctor's reports, and those will be in my book. But what happened after that was, miraculously, she got pregnant. And she now has two healthy baby daughters.
That's awesome.
Well, they're not babies anymore, but she has two girls, and she brings them up in the fear of and the knowledge of God. And it was almost like the story in the Bible of Hannah, and who prayed and she couldn't get pregnant, and then she dedicated her baby to the Lord. She said, "Lord, if you give me a child, I will dedicate him to you." And there we have Samuel. It's kind of the same thing. And so
more parents like that.
Yeah, and now they're a wonderful Christian family and really a testament to, you know, the miraculous working power of God.
Sure, that's awesome. Well, Daniel, you from your own testimony, you recall your oncologist who stated that the only miracle he believed in was the miracle of having a healthy baby. What was the significance of that, and can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, sure. In 2002, I was diagnosed with cancer, and I had a massive tumor above my heart, inside my chest. It was the size of a grapefruit. And, you know, the doctor said, look, we'll give you treatment, but we're not sure if it's going to respond. And if it doesn't, you'll be dead within 3 weeks to 3 months at the most. Wow. And I went through many different types of treatments, including chemo. I had intravenous vitamins and minerals as well. I had Laetril. I had acupuncture, physical therapy, massage. I mean, you name it. And I had a lot of people praying for me, anointing me with oil. People even prophesied over me saying, this thing was born to die. It's going to be a testimony to the Lord. And, you know, to make a long story short, when I went through halfway through the treatments, they were going to give me one round of chemo per month for 6 months. And they took a halfway point scan 3 months in, hoping that the tumor would be smaller. They were hoping it would, you know, the treatment would be working. But when that scan came back, it came back completely negative. The tumor was absolutely gone and no more cancer in my body, no more evidence of the tumor, nothing. And when I went back to my oncologist, now this was the guy who took over for the guy who actually treated me. I wasn't my original one, but I asked him, hey, do you think this is miraculous? And he's like, no, not really. I said, well, do you believe in miracles? He said, no. And then he corrected himself and said, well, the only miracle I believe in is having a healthy baby. That was it for him. Hmm. You know, there were other doctors and nurses who really thought it was miraculous, but this guy, you know, he just didn't. I don't know why. That was just his perspective. But I thought it was very significant where he said having a healthy baby is a miraculous thing.
You know, what makes a miracle is it doesn't happen that often. Babies, as miraculous as that might be, happens quite often. Tumors going away by themselves don't go away that often. I just wonder what his train of logic was there. Did you get a chance to share any of that with him or discuss it?
I think he just attributed it to the medicine, even though the doctor, you know, the one who actually treated me was surprised. And he said, well, you definitely came through it faster than most people and with less side effects than most. Hmm. And the nurses were beside themselves. They're like, we don't see this that often, you know. Even the cardiologist was very surprised. He had never met me, but he had read my original echocardiogram, and he remembered me because he made my echocardiogram a test case, and he showed it to all the students because this tumor was so big and it was crushing my pulmonary artery and just suffocating me, basically. I wasn't getting enough oxygen. But when I went back a year later and met him for the first time, he remembered my case. You know, I was getting my heart checked out because chemo drugs can weaken your heart.
Yeah.
But he said it was not only was it amazing that the tumor disappeared, but he said it didn't even leave any scar tissue behind. Mm. And he said normally when tumors retract, they leave scar tissue, but mine was completely clean.
That's wild. Well, yeah, for those parents who have had no firsthand supernatural stories to pass on to their kids, what should they tell their kids about the power of God?
I would encourage them just to tell their kids that God is real, that Jesus is alive, and they should talk to God themselves. And I think maybe their first introduction to the miraculous could be through their own kids. Mm. Like I said before, I think children are very sensitive to the spiritual world, and they may be they may pick up on things that we as adults might miss. But definitely God is real, and he loves children. You can see that demonstrated all throughout the Gospels, where Jesus welcomed children to him all the time, even when the disciples wanted to shoo them away. I think children are at the heart of God, and we need to encourage children to have a relationship with him.
Yeah, well,
I think it's important to remember also that as Jesus was walking and teaching, many of the people who responded not because a miracle was done to them, but because they witnessed a miracle or witnessed the power of God in other people. And so we would commend our listeners to check out some of the issues of your radio program, Daniel. And again, you can hear his program, Divine Intervention Radio, at divineinterventionradio.com. So even if you don't live in one of the markets where it's carried on the air, you can hear some of these great stories of God's miracles today. Our guest today has been Daniel Fazina, author of the book Divine Intervention, 50 True Stories of God's Miracles Today, which is due out right now, and host of the weekly radio program Divine Intervention Radio. Daniel, thanks so much for being with us. It's been a real pleasure.
Well, thank you, Rich and Trace. It's been my honor. I really appreciate your time. God bless you guys.
Thank you, sir.
God bless you, brother.
And again, you can find Daniel's books at Amazon.com and also his books and radio program online at DivineInterventionRadio.com. And this is Licensed to Parent, the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy, a year-long residential program for teens in crisis located just north of Atlanta. We do hope that you will take some time and visit us online, as well as learn more about our ministry to teens and our ministry to parents here on the Licensed to Parent broadcast. And while you're there, we'd appreciate it if you would prayerfully consider becoming one of our ministry partners. The cost of operating a residential facility for teens is quite high, as you might imagine, and your generous financial support will enable us to help more teens and their families during the coming year. You can donate securely on our website by clicking the donate button at the top of the page when you visit licensedtoparent.org. That is all the time we have for today. For Trace Embry, I'm Rich Roswell, inviting you to join us again next time and again renew your license to parent.
And remember, folks, if you don't train your children, somebody else will. God bless you. See you next time.